6 years ago, my next guest was living in Columbia, Missouri, when the cops knocked on the door forcefully, and before he knew it, he was a convicted felon. It's because he was growing marijuana inside his house. Lots and lots, hundreds of marijuana plants inside his house. After he was convicted of that felony and put on probation, he left Missouri and moved to Oregon. But he didn't give up on marijuana. In fact, he became one of the leaders of the movement to make Oregon the fourth state in the U.S. to legalize marijuana, which it did just a week ago. Actually, technically, they did it on Election Day last year, but it took effect on July 1st, 2015. His name is Travis Maurer, and I'm glad to have him on the show today. Hi, Travis. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on what you've done in Oregon, but can we go back to 6 years ago in Columbia to begin the story?
Sure. Let's see. Well, you know, I had been involved with marijuana before and living in a college town. It's sort of abundant.
Wait a minute. And, marijuana and college, they don't go together. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, they should. They, you know, it's a little safer than drinking, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so what had happened was, you know, personally, I had hurt my back. I injured my back when I was 24 in a very bad way. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that I was sort of bedridden for months. And my doctor at the time, who I'm extremely grateful to have had because he was the only one that recommended I don't go get surgery, insisted that I do as much yoga as possible, and then, you know, to manage the pain, take different medications. And I went through a gamut of medications, and, you know, eventually they were tearing my stomach up. And quite frankly, they weren't really doing much anyway, except for sort of, but sometimes, depending on what it was, making me more like a zombie than anything else. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that I really knew to try marijuana for medication, because before I really had just used marijuana recreationally as an alternative to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized when I was smoking it that it really helped me. I can't say that it cured the pain or anything like that, but it just made my quality of life better. And so personally, that's when I realized that there was some medical value to marijuana. But fast forward to 2005, and my mom, who was an amazing person, was stricken with pancreatic cancer. And, you know, I don't know if you've been in a situation before where you have a loved one that has cancer or a terminal illness, but you don't want to believe that, and you pretty much are willing to do whatever it would take to help them deal with their pain, or to, you know, in your mind, you want to think that there's something out there that nobody's discovered that'll cure them.
Or if you can't cure them, you certainly want to alleviate their pain, or at least the symptoms of the disease, which can include with cancer, particularly if she's getting radiation treatments, that can lead to nausea, et cetera, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, Mom, you should try smoking weed again. And, you know, she had grown up in the 60s and 70s and was familiar with lots of things, but she definitely had smoked marijuana.
Okay.
So she tried it. And so, you know, her disease progressed very quickly. She died in about 6 months after her diagnosis, but, I had started growing it for her in our house. And, just because I was determined to do whatever it took. And I really didn't care at that point.
Right.
I didn't think about the repercussions. I was just thinking about my mom. And long story short, it worked well for her for a brief period of time. We got to have Kathy back, and her personality, her character, her everything seemed to come to light a little bit. And I would do it all over again, because it really did alleviate some of those symptoms for her, albeit a short period of time. It really helped. And so that was sort of it. After she passed, I sort of kept going, because in the process, I started to realize that there was actually a huge medicinal benefit for people who were suffering from different diseases and sicknesses, illnesses. And so I had met or not met. I had some friends who volunteered at the local for the local AIDS or HIV organizations and cancer. And when I had started doing this, I want you know, one thing is if you're doing it in a state like Missouri, you don't really tell a lot of people.
No.
So, but these are some good friends, and so I started giving them medicine.
Mm-hmm.
For their patients.
But then there was that one day where the police knocked on the door and then knocked down some walls. You had built some false walls for your to grow the plants. And
yeah.
And we don't have to go into the full story of that because I want to get to the next chapter of the story, which involved you leaving Missouri and going to Oregon, a state that it was already very progressive when it came to marijuana laws. They had decriminalized it, hadn't made it fully legal, but they had decriminalized it and had looked positively on treating sick people better than most other states. They were one of the first to have assisted suicide laws, et cetera. So when you went there, you obviously found a community that was much more friendly towards marijuana than the one you had left.
Yeah, let me tell you, it was, I mean, talk about having, it was a military style, what they do to terrorists and you know in countries where we're at war, and it was something that I really couldn't live down. And of course, you know, my wife and I have been together for a very long time. She's my best friend. She's an amazing person. And you know, I'm old school. I'm from the Midwest. I had chivalry ingrained in me, and in that situation, it was the worst feeling ever to feel helpless and powerless to help my wife while she had a shotgun pointed at her head and she was having a miscarriage. And so
what? Whoa, hold on a second. The cops burst in, they put a shotgun to your wife's head while she's on the floor and she's miscarrying your baby?
Yeah. So she had been having some issues and we don't know how the pregnancy really would have gone anyway, but yeah, she's pregnant. And then, you know, and then they haul me off and they leave her there. With a bunch of dudes with guns. But look, you know, here's something I really have to clarify. I don't blame law enforcement. You know, I manage a soccer team and I like building teams and any team you put together, there's always going to be someone or somebody that is maybe sort of an ass or something like that. So, you know, look, these guys were doing their job. They weren't, you know, I, the laws are what allowed them to do that, and those are what needed to be changed. But yeah, so then we moved to Oregon, and it was quite a time in our life. We moved out here, and I set up a little grow. And the point that I was getting to a minute ago is when you move 2,000 miles away from a state where you were just accosted military style, to a state where they're having functions where people can trade medicine, trade clones out in the open, you register patients, you have legal grows, law enforcement is very aware of what's going on, and as long as you're following the laws, they don't really bother you. It's pretty accepted out here. It was shocking. I just couldn't believe that in my own country I could move 2,000 miles away from where I had a paramilitary style home invasion to sort of open arms. And so that combined with my anger of the laws in Missouri and our experience there and the vision of my wife laying on the floor with assault rifles and shotguns, you know, held to her, sort of inspired me and her, to become activists.
So you took up the cause in Oregon. You didn't say, I want to get medical marijuana legal here. You went full bore and went for recreational marijuana. In other words, all marijuana use legalized in the state of Oregon, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, when you do something like that, when you and your wife sit in the living room and you decide we're going to try to do that, it's an effort that's going to take a little bit more than just two people, right? You got to You got to get some money behind you because you're effectively putting on a political campaign to get this on the ballot.
Correct. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, it was sort of a painful process because one in Oregon, there's a long storied history of marijuana and marijuana activism. And so you have a lot of different facets, a lot of different groups that have different ideas about how things should go. And I just sort of felt like that being fresh to Oregon, having a new perspective, that it would be easier for me than some to sort of come into the picture with no history or background with anybody and try to bring everybody to the table to have a voice in how we should draft the initiative and the measure that passed in November. And so that was sort of the role I played in the beginning. Obviously, the next biggest goal would be to raise money. And in that case, you know, you have to put together something that has been researched, an initiative that's been researched that shows it can pass, and then, you know, you try to appeal to the national funders and convince them that this is a winning issue, which was hard to do because nobody believed that we could do it in 14 in Oregon, and all of the national political strategists, all the local ones were urging me to wait till 2016, but I just, you know, it was something I didn't want to wait for, and I felt like I had my finger on the pulse here. As somebody new coming in and seeing the massive industry in Oregon and all these good people, I thought, man, it's time to do it now.
Why did they want you to wait, Travis?
Conventional wisdom says that a presidential election is a much better year to run and campaign on this type of issue. The history of people trying to do that, you know, in 2010... Richard Lee, one of my heroes in California, put up $1 million of his own money and got something on the California ballot, and it didn't pass. And but the thing of it is that even though it didn't pass, it really continued the momentum. And so, you know, I'm proud to know him, and I'm proud of his efforts because he got a lot of flack for doing that. But the truth of the matter is, if he wouldn't have, I think that the momentum probably would have slowed down a little.
Was part of the reason also that 2016 would be a presidential year and you get many more young people voting in presidential years than you do in any other off-year election, and that demographic they were thinking would be key to passing a pro-marijuana piece of legislation?
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what they were saying. And but I was the one holdout, and of course I had, you know, so being a part of the industry out here, I felt like that somebody needed to step up and sort of started a little medical marijuana grow and help, fund some polling and some focus groups, and sort of provided the seed money to get it all started. And then, you know, the next thing here was really, a merger of the grassroots organizations with some of the more professional established type people that are capable of running campaigns that have a track record of being able to do stuff like this. So we reached out to some of the bigger law firms here, research firms, lobbying firms, and we brought them into the fold to help us have a louder voice and to really have a little bit of a different perception. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have the stoner image, the reefer madness image of people when they think of marijuana. But the truth is that, don't get me wrong, I like the Grateful Dead, but people like me and my wife and a lot of our friends in Missouri and in Oregon enjoy us smoking pot or marijuana, weed, yep, whatever you want to call it, from time to time as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Well, you proved the experts wrong. You didn't have to wait until 2016. You got it passed on Election Day 2014. And then just a week ago, on July 1st, 2015, it officially became legal. But I understand that it's not really 100% along the way the way Colorado and Washington State have it yet, because you still have to get some things written down on paper. Is that right?
Yeah, so the legislative session this year has been pretty historical for Oregon. The legislature has been tasked with doing a bunch of things on marijuana, and they've caught a lot of flack for doing that. But frankly, I think they've done a really good job. You're going to lose some battles, but overall, we come out way ahead. Patients can still grow their medicine. Up to 96 plants, and they also, believe it or not, we had a Republican representative, Farioli, introduce the idea of starting sales to adults over 21 on October 1st, and that passed. So October 1st of this year, if you're 21 and over, you'll actually be able to go into a medical dispensary, show your ID, and buy up to 7 grams of cannabis from the dispensary. And you can also get seeds and starts. And then next year, when the rest of the regulations roll through, you know, the legislature and the OLCC, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, will decide, you know, sort of what the rules are from there. But I think we have the gold standard. I think we have a better initiative in Colorado and Washington. Of course, we were able to learn from their mistakes and a couple of years of watching them try to implement their laws there.
And for anybody listening wondering, what was the third state? That was Alaska, which is still kind of in limbo, and they haven't gotten to that that goal line yet either. I'm sure that you had to talk to people in Colorado and Washington and see what they had done and find out what was the right thing to do. But I also know, having talked to people in Colorado who were part of the legalizing marijuana effort there, that they were worried about the federal government, because at the federal level, marijuana is still part of the Controlled Substance Act of 1970, a 45-year-old piece of legislation that is so outdated but still not updated. Were you worried about that in Oregon?
Well, look, I'm in the marijuana industry. I guess at some point you just have to decide, you know, what the risk is. And in Oregon, in Portland proper, several years ago, the chief of police here issued a statement to the federal government, or to the Fed, saying, look, marijuana is so far down on our list, we're just not going to even cooperate with you because we don't have time to deal with it. So
yeah.
It's a lot different out here. No, not worried about it. I think the writing's on the wall. And quite frankly, prohibition has failed so miserably. I think it's pretty common knowledge that we can go to most any state, whether it's legal or not, and find marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think the important thing to think about, and they know this too, is that resources are limited. We need to take it out of the hands of criminals. We need to keep it away from kids, which means IDing people, putting in places where only 21 and over can go. We need to be able to research it to figure out exactly how medicinally it helps patients. And quite frankly, we need to end the war on drugs.
You need to insert one word there, the failed war on drugs. And by the way, by the way, I don't use recreational drugs. I haven't smoked dope in 37 years, and I have no intention of doing it again anytime soon, although if someday I were to get some sort of chronic pain and it would relieve that, I probably would change my mind about that. But I have no problem with people doing it recreationally, which leads to my final question for you, which is, when are you going to be able to get Missouri and our neighbors in Illinois to follow the lead of Oregon, Alaska, Washington, and Colorado and legalize recreational marijuana?
Well, look, Leah and I founded Show Me Cannabis after our experience in Columbia, and the team there has built an amazing grassroots organization. We have 100,000 Facebook likes. We've got 20,000 plus people opted into our mobile campaign, tens of thousands of emails. I think we are the voice in Missouri, and I think that the time is going to be 2016. We need to do some further research, which is what we're in the process of doing, and figure out what is a good fit for Missouri that helps patients get their medicine and also prevents adults from being labeled as a felon or criminalized for possession of cannabis. So I think 2016 is the year. It would be nice if the legislature did something in the beginning of the session next year. But if they don't, and I don't think they will, we're going to move forward with an initiative that will allow people to have access to medicine, that will allow doctors to recommend it without the fear of being charged with a crime, and allow adults to possess it without the fear of being charged with a crime.
Well, I think that's smart, starting with medical marijuana, which I think you probably would be able to build quite a bit of support for, and I really hope you can do that. And I applaud you on picking up your life from that disastrous day 6 years ago and moving on and really making a difference in your new home state of Oregon, Travis. Congratulations.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining me today. Travis Maurer, one of the people who got behind the effort and made marijuana legal in the state of Oregon. Four down, 46 to go. This is the Big 550 KTRS.